And this morning, we're going to finish our study in Lamentations, and it's a message I entitled Legacy Matters. And so if you have a Bible, I invite you to open up to Lamentations chapter 5. It's the final chapter in Lamentations. And in this chapter, God is called upon in prayer to look upon the suffering and the misery of his people. What a message for Mother's Day, right? No, I'll tie it in. Don't worry, it'll be good. It'll be good. The city and its temple have been destroyed. Their army has been defeated. Many have been put to death by the sword. Others have been taken prisoner into Babylon. And those who remain are hiding for their lives. And those who are hiding for their lives are literally starving to death. As they search for food, they're actually looking for food amongst rubbish heaps. And their young children, they're actually dying in their arms of the parents. And things are so bad and so desperate that people are eating the flesh of their dead in order to keep themselves alive. The religious leaders of the day, they lost all respect and they're experiencing great rejection. And the reason is because they failed to uphold the truth and declare the truth of the Word of God to the people. And as a result, foreigners have come in to occupy the land, and they're taking advantage of their misfortune, and as they're taking in, occupying their fields and their homes and all the rest. And so God's people are at a place where in their eyes, they're still uncertain what the future holds. And one thing, though, is for certain, and that is deliverance for them can come by no other means than an act of God, an intervention of God has to take place. They can't look to man to deliver them. They can't look to their military. Their military has already been defeated. They can't look to a neighboring allied nation. The Egyptians tried, and Babylon wiped out their army too as a result. And so there was no resources that they had to look to. And so as a result, God put them in a place where he was the only one that they could look to for deliverance. And actually, that's a good place to be, isn't it? Where eyes are focused on the Lord and he's our main concern. And so I'm going to read through the whole chapter. It's short, even though it's 22 verses long. It's a short chapter. So let's begin in verse 1. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Look and behold our reproach. Our inheritance has been turned over to aliens and our houses to foreigners. We have become orphans and waifs, that is, homeless. Our mothers are like widows. We pay for the water we drink, and our wood comes at a price. They pursue us at our heels. We labor and have no rest. We have given our hand to the Egyptians and the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. Servants rule over us. There is none to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the risk of our own lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin is hot as an oven because of the fever of famine. They ravish the women in Zion, the maidens in the cities of Judah. Princes were hung up by their hands, and elders were not respected. Young men ground at the millstones. Boys staggered under loads of wood. The elders have ceased gathering at the gate, and the young men from their music. The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Because of Mount Zion, which is desolate with foxes walking about on it, you, O Lord, remain forever, your throne from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are very angry with us. And so the cry of their heart, going back to verse 1, was for God to remember, to look, to behold, as if to say, God, won't you please take an active interest in my circumstance, in my situation, do something, anything, whether or not God had utterly forsaken them. But whenever we would find ourselves in situations like this, in this life, the only thing that we have to hold on to is the promises of God's word. Think of Jesus' words in Matthew, lo, I am with you always, even to the end. Now, that word always there, that refers to times when we're obedient as God's children, and that also refers to times when we're disobedient as God's children. Always is always. It doesn't matter how we behave. God still loves us. He still cares about us. I mean, think of Peter. He denied the Lord those 3 times. Jesus had warned Peter. Peter, Satan's out to get you, man. He's requested to sift you as wheat. And you know how Jesus prayed for Peter? It wasn't, oh, Father, deliver Peter from his circumstance. Oh, Father, make your presence known to Peter. Oh, Father, hear Peter's prayer and answer it. No, you know how Jesus prayed for Peter? He prayed that his faith would not fail. That's why it's so important that our faith is in the promises of God's word. That when we find ourselves in a difficult circumstance and situation, because that's where these people are at this time. They're in a difficult spot. Remember, we talked about it earlier. We have to recall to our minds, as the author did, back in chapter 3, verse 21. He said, I will recall to my mind. Therefore, I will hope. I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Wow, the fact that they were still alive and breathing was actually a testament to God's faithfulness. The fact that God didn't snuff them out. You know, even though, you know, this was all going on, that's all he could do. He had to recall. He had to fix his mind. He had to take the attention of his mind off his troubles, and he had to fixate it on the promises of God's word. God, you are compassion. You are a compassionate God, and your compassion fails not, meaning that God's compassion goes forth and it accomplishes what it was purposed to accomplish. It doesn't return back empty. His mercies are new every morning. And there's times where we have to just say, God, thank you for your mercy today, that I can experience a fresh showering of your mercy in my life today. Thank you for your mercy, God. Every morning, they're new to each and every one of us, no matter what we're going through. Even like when the people here, in their present circumstances, they're not experiencing God's presence. They're not experiencing any answers to prayer. It's as if God is not speaking to them at all. He's remaining silent. Even at times when you feel that God is like behaving that way toward you, you need to know and put your mind on the promises of God's word. His compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning, regardless if he's remaining silent. In verse 2, it speaks of the loss of their inheritance. That's a reference to the land, the territory that they received under Joshua's leadership when they went into the promised land. But it was more than just land itself. It was more than just that. I mean, that land represented their homes. places where they were raising their families and their children, the places where they slept at night and sat at the table to enjoy family meals together. It was their places where they planted their vineyards and their olive groves. It was where they planted their fields and they raised their flocks and their herds and they grazed there. And it's just like, you know, those kind of decisions. When we're not making decisions in obedience to God, you know, all the pleasant things of life are taken away. They're removed. They're removed. There's been a change of ownership. They're no longer theirs. They've been taken away. And they're experiencing the pain of seeing that which was once theirs now in the possession of others. The women are widows, the children are orphans, verse 3. Because the breadwinner, the provider of the family is no more. Basic necessities such as firewood and water, that things that were once free are now in need of being purchased, verse 4. Could you imagine paying for water here in Pahrump? Oh, it's kind of alarming though. The day may come, right? Something that was just so accustomed to being free is on the verge of being taken away. Firewood. You know, it was, you know, here you can just go out into the forest and pull out dead limbs, and if you have the ability, and bring it home and that kind of thing. But, you know, that was their way of heating the home. That was the way they're cooking their food back in the day. And now they're having to pay for these things. Not only were they pursued and persecuted, but they were given over to slave labor, verses 5 and 6 say. They had taskmasters, just like back in the day, days of Egypt, when they were making bricks, and then they had to start going out and finding straw on their own to make their bricks. And it was heavy labor placed upon them. Verse 7 speaks of how the repercussions of the consequences of their poor choices that they were making, that one generation made, were extended to the next generation. You remember I said, whatever we sow, that we're going to reap. And whatever we sow, we're always going to reap it at a later date. And whatever we sow, we're always going to reap more than what we sow. When we think of one apple seed being planted in the ground, producing an apple tree, how many apples will that tree produce? How many more seeds will go forth? Understand that they're not bearing the guilt of the sins of their fathers. Everyone will stand before God and give an account for their own sin. You and I will not be punished for the sins of our parents, but we may suffer the consequences of their poor decision making. If they made bad decisions and choices, that's a different story. This comes as a result, these circumstances, not taking into account the long-term effects that their choices would bring. That is why it's so important that we take into consideration what our choices will bring long-term. Remember back in chapter 1, verse 9, it said, she did not consider her destiny. Therefore, her collapse was awesome. Her collapse was tragic. But her collapse could have been avoided had they taken into account what their choices in life would result in. You know, we're living in the midst of a society today that is seeking for instantaneous gratification. And it's all a result of our selfish nature, our desires. I mean, there's a lot of people who could care less of what our choices will bring long term, just so we get what we want right now. I could care less. I don't care about what it's going to bring later on. I want it right now, as long as I can have it right now. And so it is of the utmost importance that we take the time to consider what will the long-term effects of our choices have upon the next generation. So let me, being that it's Mother's Day, let me talk to the men and say, men, I pray that it doesn't just take a Mother's Day for that woman to be honored in your home. I pray that every day would be a day where the women of our homes are honored. They're cherished, they're loved, they're appreciated for all that they do. Can I get an amen, women?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. See, I got the women on my side. I'm good. All right. It's like that joke where they say, you know, the man might be the head of the church, but the woman is the neck, and she can turn that head any direction she wants. It's true, isn't it? You know it is. You know it is. We'll get back to that. You know, we have men and women among us who've risked their lives in order to save the lives of others, and some have almost lost their lives in order to save the lives of others. But can you imagine verse 9, having to risk your life in order to obtain daily bread for survival? I can't imagine that. That's so absurd to us in this country, to have to risk your life in order to just get food enough to eat for the day. They have been so taken advantage of, verses 11 through 13, that their wives and their young women have been sexually assaulted, their men have been hung, their elderly are disrespected, their young boys are slave laborers. They're grinding at the millstone, they're carrying wood on their backs. Verses 15 through 18 reiterate for us how sin seeks to steal away our joy and all the pleasant things we have in this life. I mean, you look at verse 15, the joy of our heart has ceased. It's like it's gone. All as a result of bad decision making. Mount Zion, verse 18, that was where the temple once stood, the city of Jerusalem on the mountain called Zion. It was a visible symbol of the Lord's presence dwelling amongst his people, but its desolation is now a constant reminder that God has withdrawn his presence from his people. And they've come to realize, verse 16, that only through genuine repentance can man's relationship with God be restored. There's no other way for man's relationship with God to be restored. And so the cry of their heart, verse 21, turn us back to you, O Lord. Bring us back. It's like they're saying, restore the years the locusts have eaten. You know, like we've been praying in the prayer of Lamentations. You know, Lord, bring back our children. Bring back our children. It's an expression of man's inability to mend the fractured relationship, to deliver themselves from their present circumstances. But no matter what kind of circumstance we find ourselves in, whether as an individual or as a nation of people, again, we have to remind ourselves of the promises of God's word. Jesus said in Luke 18, but Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. God's able to do the unimaginable. I mean, when you think of God being able to do the unimaginable, whatever, that's like saying, you know, whatever God is able to do immeasurably more than you and I could imagine. That's like saying, think of your greatest Bible story, the greatest act or work of God. whether it's the separating of the Red Sea, whether it's the rising of the dead, whether it's the calling down fire from heaven. And God's saying, I can do so much better than that. I can do the unimaginable for you and in your life, for you and for your family. I can do the unimaginable. So our final takeaway from our study of Lamentations is legacy matters. The title of the message. Legacy matters. A legacy is the long-lasting impact that a person in the past whose life and behavior has been modeled in such a way that it is worthy of being emulated, imitated, practiced, followed by others today. Every generation, we have an awesome responsibility, to leave a godly legacy for those who follow after us. An awesome responsibility. I mean, parents with young children in the home, you have an awesome responsibility to leave a godly legacy for your children. Consider what are the things that you're going to leave behind for your children to emulate, to imitate, to follow? I'll tell you a little story for myself, from my own family. When I was a very young child growing up, both my mom and my dad were heavy drinkers. And my sister and I, we were just really young at the time. And I remember we were at one of my parents' friend's house where there was a lot of drinking and card games going on, that kind of thing. And I remember my mom and dad came to the house in separate cars, probably because of work or something. And my sister and I were driving home with my dad, standing up on the front seat of the car as we're driving home. And I remember watching my mom driving home on the wrong side of the road, head-on traffic, and just cars swerving out of the way, back and forth, left and right. And praise God, we all made it home safely, but I remember talking to Dad, like, I didn't understand what was going on. I was like, Dad, why is Mom driving? He wasn't saying a word. It was like his hands were on the wheel, and he was just so fixated on where my mom was driving, you know, hoping, praying that she's going to be okay. My mom ended up being the first one to get saved in our family. I think that incident impacted her greatly. And she realized that a change needed to be made. Now, my father, he continued on in his drinking for some time before he got saved. But as his son, I was following right in his footsteps. I remember as a young child, 7 years old, my mom would pull up to a bar and send me in to go get my dad. I'd have to go tap on his shoulder while he's sitting at a bar stool. And I'd have to help escort him out to the car to get in. And I was thinking to myself, as I got older, and as my wife and I were getting married, we were, just like any married couple, you know, you sit down and you talk together about choices and decisions that you're going to make. And so for me and my family, my wife and I, we chose that we would never allow alcohol into our home because we both had experienced the dangers of what it could cause, because we wanted to leave a godly legacy for our children. So that way, if any of my children, and I have four, and they're all grown and they've all moved out of the house, if they chose to drink, it wasn't because they saw the example from mom and dad. It was something that, if they chose to exercise that liberty, it was something that they would choose to do, and they would do it on their own. But I wanted to have that peace of mind because I didn't want my kids to make the same choice that I made in this life, in following that kind of a legacy. And, you know, I praise God. My father, both my mom and dad, before they died, they both knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for a praying mom. She prayed her heart out for me, and I'm so thankful. I look forward to the day of reunion. And so, men, back to us. It's so important. We have sons and daughters in our home today. How important it is for us to establish a godly legacy, to allow our children to grow up, our daughters. Can you imagine the blessing to hear our daughter say, you know what, when I get married, I want to marry a man who loves me like dad loved mom. Or having a son say the same thing about his mother. We are so desperate in need of that to be modeled today. We have to take into consideration the choices that we're making today. What is going to be the long-term effect of those choices? What are the impacts going to have? What an awesome responsibility. Why didn't they tell us that before we decided to have kids, right? I mean, whoo! It's scary. And you know what? As my wife and I are getting ready to, you know, take this trip to go visit our kids and our grandkids, you know, we never stop being parents. My oldest is 32, and he still calls myself and mom for advice at times. We never stop. But it's like my heart now is like, I wanna set a legacy for my grandchildren. I wanna set an example for them to follow. I wanna leave behind, because the most valuable legacy that we leave our children, money can't buy. Moral values, integrity, respect, sacrificial love and service to others, friendship, and most importantly, a devotion to God. Parents, let me share with you. A dear friend and mentor in my life just recently passed away. He lives in Kingman, Arizona. And I wasn't able to attend the memorial service, but I was able to watch it online. And it was amazing, his legacy, because normally, you know, you have a pastor share, which they did for very briefly, but the majority of the ceremony was done by their children and the wife. And it just, the impact of something the son said. He said, you know, there was a time where, you know, I just was kind of out doing my thing. And there were times where I would walk by the table or the desk and I'd see my dad's Bible left open on the table. And I would just sit at times. And I would just read and look at what he highlighted, as if to say what the Lord was ministering to his dad. And the dad had no idea the son was ever doing it. It's amazing. I thought, wow, what an impact. Just leaving a simple Bible open with highlighted areas and God just capturing the attention of one of the children and say, hey, why don't you sit down and look at what your dad's reading. My prayer for us as a church is that we would live in such a way that we would leave a long-lasting mark on the people around us and those who follow behind us, a mark that can never, ever be erased. Nor would we want it to ever be erased, because it was a mark, an impression that God made through the work of the Holy Spirit in that next generation. Let it start with us, men. Let us set an example of honoring our wives, one that's worthy of our children following. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, your word is so rich. It is so rich. And I am so thankful. And Lord, I know that we are just such a fallible people. And I just pray for those here this morning that feel maybe troubled because they haven't got off to a great start. Lord, I just pray that you would just allow today to be that day of change. Change has to start somewhere. Why not today? And Lord, I just pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, doesn't have a personal relationship with you, Lord, I pray today would be the day they would come forward, take a seat in the front, let one of our prayer team members pray with them and for them to receive Christ and to make the change, to receive the power to change. Because we can't change on our own, God. We need you. And Lord, I just pray that we as a church family, regardless of the mistakes we've made in our past, that from this day forward, we would truly weigh each and every choice and decision that we make and seriously consider what will be the long-term consequences or results of my choice. And Lord, that we would make those choices that would honor you. That our choices would honor you. And that we would begin establishing our legacy today. And so, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of just being your instrument to share your word this morning. I pray and ask again, bless the women here, Lord. So thankful. So thankful for each and every woman here and the role that she plays in this family. And I pray, God, that you would just continue to nurture them, to encourage them, to comfort and strengthen them, and give them a lasting legacy amongst their children. And may we all together never stop loving the kids that come onto this property with your love, God. Lord, that the children that are in this church environment, that they would see a godly legacy living out before them, that they would see modeled before them what it means to live a God-honoring life amongst everyone. And so, Lord, bless our remaining time together. Bless the food, the hands that prepared it, the fellowship, and the closing of this last worship song, we pray in Jesus' name.